He is a Savior that's worthy to be loved. We're thankful to our God this morning that we're able to come together on another first day of the week to praise Him in a wonderful way and to thank Him for all that He does for us. Certainly, we are grateful for all who have come on this day. And especially if you are visiting with us today, we, as Brother Montgomery has said, we welcome you. We are glad that you have come. And if this is your first time in our audience, we would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. We'd love to have a record of your attendance with us. And certainly, we want to recognize you at the end of our service and want to meet you when the service is over. So again, thank you for being with us on this day. Number 826 has been announced as our song of invitation this morning. And we stand to sing that song. If we have any who needs to respond to the Lord, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, not a member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the New Testament, the church of Christ, we want to encourage you to think seriously about obeying the Lord, so that, again, you can go to heaven. Amen. You're already a member, but somehow we might find ourselves walking contrary to His will. We trust that something may be said that would encourage us to turn away from whatever it is. And if we need to confess or ask prayer, we want to encourage you to come on this day. I'm looking over the audience. I was expecting to see a good friend of mine from long years ago here today, a preacher, Brother Oral Walls. He was going to be in town, but maybe he went to another congregation. But I don't see him, but y'all tell him I was looking for him. So. There he is. I was looking way back. Good to see you, Brother Paul. Oh, my goodness. I'll never live that down. When I was in school, one of our teachers, professors, said not to me, but to another student who was saying they couldn't see something on the blackboard. And she said to her, I won't call the lady's name. Some of you might know her, but she said to her, Miss Blank, you can't see that. You have four eyes. You have your own eyes, and you have two more eyes. So, Brother Walls, I'm looking all back there looking for you. So good to see you again. Thank you for coming our way and being with us today. Yes, indeed. Now I guess I'll try to gather myself to preach. Acts chapter 1. Thank Brother Nicholas for reading our scriptures this morning. And certainly we thank Brother Terrence for leading us in those wonderful songs this morning. Acts chapter 1, let me read this for emphasis as we begin our lesson on today. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And in these verses, he indicates that he had written Theophilus a former treatise of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. This former treatise would be in reference to the book of Luke. Again, we're studying from that book on Wednesday night. A treatise is a formal and systematic written discourse on some subject, generally longer and treating it in greater depth than an essay, and more concerned with investigating or exposing the principles of the subject. And in the book of Luke, we can see, as Brother James has been teaching us, all of the investigating, all of the research that Luke had done in calling and getting with witnesses, if you will, and of course being led also by the Holy Spirit in making sure that he was writing exactly what needed to be written. It's a long book, of course, as the definition of the word treatise indicates. But notice the Bible says that Jesus was not just a teacher, but he was also a doer. It's one thing to teach, but it's another thing to do. No wonder when James wrote in James chapter 2 in verse number 22, he says, "But be thou doers of the word and not hearers only." It's easy to be a hearer, and sometimes it's easy to be a teacher, but it's another thing to be a doer. So in looking at the life of Jesus, we can find some great lessons for us to imitate. One such lesson that we can find in the life of Jesus was that he was a man of acceptance. He accepted people. You know, we have that problem in the world today where sometimes some people find it hard to accept other folks. But Jesus was not like that. He taught that we should accept other people, and he lived that same way. He practiced, in other words, what he preached. Again, Luke says that when he wrote this letter to Theophilus, he was writing about all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And he includes numerous things in the life of Jesus. Things that he taught, things that he did. And Jesus did and taught a lot of things. Now, Luke doesn't capture this, but John captures this. John says that there were so many things that Jesus did that if they had all been written down, there would have been enough books in this world to contain them. That's a lot of things. And John didn't lie, because he also was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't lead people to lie. But he says the things that are written, you know, we got enough. We don't have to worry about those things that we won't have. We got enough, Brother Walls. We got enough to do what the Lord wants us to do. He said the things that are written, they are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing we might have life through his name. Don't we want to have life? Don't we want to see his face in peace? Don't we want to be with him throughout the ceaseless ages? Then I would suggest to us this morning, then, let's take some lessons from Jesus. Let's take some lessons from Jesus, and I'm going to talk about three things, or maybe four things this morning, but they all come under this heading of Jesus accepting folks. So the title of the lesson then again is Great Lesson Learned from Jesus. A subtitle that you might want to give to it is just say, Jesus is a man of acceptance. And again, that is so needful for us today. Jesus accepted people, whether they were young, whether they were middle-aged, whether they were old. He accepted people. And you would think that people wouldn't have a problem with young people, and especially with young children. But do you not know that Jesus' disciples had a problem with some children? They didn't want to accept the children. Not at that time they didn't. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15 beginning. And they brought unto him also infants. That would be young children, small children. They brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, didn't they just say, oh, these are just wonderful children. We're so glad to have them with us. That's what you would have thought they would have said. But the Bible says they rebuked him. They rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus had selected these 12 men to follow him, preparing them to be future teachers and future preachers, but yet they didn't want anything to do with children at this time. Jesus used this as a teachable moment. He taught a great lesson. In the next verse, in verse 17, he says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Jesus is saying, if you want to really enter into the kingdom of God, if you really want to get to heaven, you're going to have to accept little children. You're going to have to take time with little children. Little children were special to him. And so Jesus taught this needful lesson of accepting little children. Not only was he concerned about little children, but he was also concerned about the aged ones. In Old Testament times, widows who would normally be older women, and I know there are some young widows, but normally they would be older women. Old Testament, the Lord taught that special concern needed to be given to older women who were widows. In Exodus chapter 22, listen to what the Bible says there. In verse number 22, the Bible says, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall be waxed hot. We don't want to mess with God in mistreating widows. And not only will my wrath, he says, be waxed hot, but he says, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. God says, pay special attention to widows. Jesus was on the same page with his Father, because the Bible says, all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they were one. So Jesus, being on the same page, he would say the same thing. Make sure that you pay close attention to widows. Accept widows. Don't push them aside. They need your assistance. And that's why when he says in so many words, when you see widows being mistreated, he says, I want you to come to their defense. And he says this in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 17, he said, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come to their defense. And you know what? Getting back to the New Testament, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit that inspired James to write, makes this a test of true religion. In James chapter 1 and verse number 26, first he says this, if any of you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, he said, this man, religion is vain, and he deceives his own heart. We talked about that self-deception this morning, Dennis. He deceiveth his own heart. But then in verse 27, he says, but true religion and undefiled before God is this. What is it, James? He says, to do what? Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What is James saying? James is saying, pay very close attention to widows. Pay very close attention to widows. In other words, don't make a difference. Don't place limits on what you do for the young. Don't place limits on what you do for the old, and especially for the widows. That's a test of true religion. So Jesus then, being this man of acceptance that he was, he says again to his disciples who were offended. And when you read another account of this, they says that they are worrying us. They make a noise. You know, young children, when they cry and when they do this and when they do that, they do make noise. But Jesus says, don't forbid them to come to me. Because unless you become just like them, you won't have a chance of getting into heaven. Jesus placed no limits on age. He accepted those of all ages. But then there's something else about Jesus that we need to notice, that we can learn from him. Y'all remember the Samaritans that the Jews had no dealing with? In John chapter 4, and we'll be all familiar, I'm sure, with that story, of Jesus had an encounter with a Samaritan woman. He broke tradition from his Jewish brethren. His Jewish brethren never would have done what he did. The Bible says that he left Judea on his way down, or up, I should say, or down, whichever way it was, to Galilee. But then the scripture says he must go through Samaria. History says that Jews never went through Samaria because they hated the Samaritans. That they would go all the way around. They would cross the Jordan twice. They'd go across it and go around and come back across it to get up to Galilee. Jesus went straight through Samaria. You talking about going the long way home? That's what the Jews would do to miss Samaria. They would take the long way around. But Jesus went through Samaria, and he went through there for a purpose. And the Bible says that, you know, he got weary, of course, walking. You would get weary, you would get tired, and he sat down on Jacob's well. And then here comes this woman to draw water. And he asked her for a drink of water. Of course, she knowing and realizing that he was a Jew, why are you asking me for water? You see, I'm a Samaritan. You know the Jews don't have nothing to do with Samaritans. Jesus says, if you had known who I was, you'd have asked me. And he explained to her, of course, that he was the living water. And she said, give me some water. Give me some water. But then he says to this, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. Jesus says, I know it. You had five. And the one you have now is not yours. And when he said that to her, the Bible says she perceived that he was a prophet. That he was a prophet. Now listen to what the scripture says about her. In John 4 and verse 28, the scripture says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to them, to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Let's drop down a little bit further in verse 39. The Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. What's the point of all of what I've just shared with you this morning? If Jesus had not gone through Samaria, they never would have received this good gospel, this dose of gospel, to know that Jesus was the Savior of all the world. Isn't that what he came for? He came to save the whole world. He didn't come just to save the Jews. He came to save the whole world. And the Samaritans needed to know that. And so he accepted the Samaritans. And he spent time with the Samaritan. As a matter of fact, when his disciples had gone into town to get something to eat, and they came back and they were amazed that he was sitting here talking to the Samaritan woman. But they dared not question him on him. I'm glad they didn't. Jesus probably would have used another teachable moment. But my point in sharing with us this morning this story is that we must accept people no matter what race they are. We must accept them. Because Jesus came to save everybody. Jesus was a man of acceptance. As I said, he broke with Jewish tradition. When you go and when you visit with folks and you talk with folks, don't talk with them and don't visit with them just because they're of your own race. And extending out from the race, don't just talk with them just because they of your own profession, you know, or just because they lack what you lack. That might make the conversation easier, but don't use that as your reason for going talking and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You go and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ because you realize that they are not just an engineer, they are not just a nurse, they are not just a professor in college, they are not just a doctor, they are not just a lawyer, but they are these people who have souls. And we share with them, no matter what race they are, no matter what profession they are in, no matter what side of town they live on, we share with them because we are concerned about their soul. And so Jesus went through Samaria because the Samaritans needed to know that Jesus was the Savior of the world. So he accepted the Samaritans. And sometimes people will get wrapped up even on different cultures. In Matthew chapter 15, there's another account of Jesus showing acceptance. He set no boundaries on culture. In verse number 21, the Bible says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Now listen to the disciples again. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Do what? Send her away. Why? Because she cried after us. In other words, we don't want to be bothered with her, Lord. Send her away. She's crying after us. She's disturbing us. Send her away. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. We all need help from the Lord, don't we? But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. When you read this account in the book of Mark, Mark says that she was a Greek, which means, again, that she was a different, not only race, but a different culture. She was a different culture from the Jews. But Jesus, in spite of the fact that his disciples had sent her away, Jesus still recognized that she was seeking after him because of her daughter's illness, yes. But he also recognized her for having great faith. If there's anything that we want the Lord to recognize us for, it's to recognize us for our great faith. We need to have faith in our Lord. But my point that I'm driving home from the story is that Jesus set no boundaries on cultures. The Jews would have been glad for him not, and as his disciples there indicates, they would have been glad for him not to give this woman the time of day. Not only was she crying after them, but she was of another culture. She was a Greek. But didn't Jesus come again to save all cultures? Isn't that what the book of Romans teaches us, particularly in the first chapter, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, where he says over there, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Syrophoenician woman, this Greek. She needs the gospel too. Every culture upon the face of the earth needs the gospel. So Jesus then, when he gave the Great Commission, he says, go into where? All the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God wants us to be concerned about everybody. Now I realize that we can't go everywhere, but we need to be concerned about everybody. And as we have the opportunity where we can go, then go. Brother James is sometime next month, if everything gets worked out right, we're sending him back to West Africa, going over there to help spread the gospel. So my point again is, if we set boundaries, then we'll say, well, let's just be concerned about folks here in Huntsville. That should be just concerned about Americans. Don't worry about people somewhere else. Somebody else will take care of them. What if everybody said that? Somebody else. Y'all heard this thing about the same thing. They said, let somebody else do it. It kept on going all the way, got to the end, nobody would do it. Because everybody is wanting somebody else to do it. sooner or later, that somebody else runs out and it doesn't get done. God wants us to be concerned again about everybody. So Jesus then teaches us a great lesson about not setting boundaries on those that we are concerned about with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The disciples again says, send her away. She cries after us. We don't want her with us. We need to want everybody with us because the Lord wants everybody with him. And then here's another one, which will be the last one. You know, mental illness is a big thing now. It has always been. But it's just now, when I say just now, I mean in recent years, it's just now really being recognized for what it really is that people need to be concerned about people who have mental illness. Well, in Jesus' day, that was a man that was mentally challenged. In Luke chapter 8, there's the story there of this man that lived among the tombs. He was possessed, yes. But his mind, when you possess, of course, your mind is really possessed. He was possessed. But listen what the Bible says. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes. He was naked. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters and brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entering into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And he heard. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it to the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I recognize that we don't have people today possessed with devils like they were. But we do have people that are mentally challenged. A lot of mental stuff is going on. What if Jesus, now thankfully the disciples didn't say at this time, they didn't pipe up at this time. Maybe they learned their lesson by then, I don't know. They didn't pipe up at this time and say, don't have anything to do with this man. But what if Jesus, when he saw this man coming, if he had just said, no, don't come any further. Stay away. I don't want anything to do with you. What if he had done that? This man never would have been helped. But because Jesus, being a compassionate Lord that he was, he met this man's need and he cast out the devils or the demons that were within him. I would say to us then this morning that we must find a way to minister to those with mental issues. And one way we do that is to really try to learn how to recognize these issues that go on with people. You know, sometimes you can see people walking along and you think they're just perfectly normal. But then, all of a sudden, something may trigger something. And you realize they have some issues. So my point of the matter is what I'm saying all of this is for, is that we must not push people aside, set them in the corner somewhere, and have nothing to do with them. You know, in the old days, and of course they didn't know a whole lot better back then, I suppose, way back before my generation, they used to call people crazy. And they sit them in the corner somewhere. Or they keep them in the back rooms. You know, when company came, they keep them in the back rooms where nobody could see them. We don't ever want to shun anybody. We want to make everybody feel welcome, even though they may have problems. As a matter of fact, who among us don't have some kind of problem? It may not be mental, but we have some kind of problem. So we're all somewhat in the same boat. We all have issues. So we don't want to shun anybody. We can learn from Jesus to be compassionate toward people that have mental challenges. Seek a way then to minister to them. We pray for them, yes, but sometimes, you know, there was an old preacher one day, Brother Walls, and you probably heard this, that would say, sometimes you have to help your prayers along. You know, it's like praying for a job. But if you don't get up and go do something, that job probably not going to come. You got to get up and get out there and put in your application and take your interviews and do whatever it takes to get that job. You pray for it, yes. So just praying for certain situations all the time is not enough. God wants us to do what we can do, and then when we get to our limit, then he steps in. So we can pray for people with issues like that, but then we need to learn how to truly minister to them. So again, that they can feel like they are welcome and they are part of the body. Seek to find professional help, even if needed. Again, don't just push them in the corner or set them in the back. What have we said then this morning? We've said that Jesus showed us through his teaching and through his practical living it, he showed us that he was a man of acceptance, that he accepted anybody and everybody that came across his path. We need to be the same way. Now, am I saying we accept what they do if it's wrong? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying accept them as people that need the love of God and need our love, and what better way to show them the love of God than to show them how we love them. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We need to show people that we care. Because again, Jesus was a man that accepted everybody. Because he knew everybody had a soul. And he came to save souls. He didn't come to save people. He came to save souls. He healed folks, yes. But that wasn't his real mission. His mission was to save their soul. Our mission should be to save people's soul. And how do we do that? Again, by showing them we care, showing them that we accept them. Don't look at them and look down our nose at people that are maybe different from us. But we accept everybody as being a person that's made in the image of God. Because after all, God made everybody. They are made in his image. And he knows exactly what's going on with everybody. You know, Moses perhaps had a speech impediment. But didn't God know that? God made him, didn't he? So when Moses says, I can't speak well, God says, I can fix that. You got a brother. I'll take care of that. I'm the one. I make the lame. I make the dumb. I make those. I made everybody. So you're not telling me anything that I don't know. God already knows what's going on with folks. So we need to just be concerned and compassionate and love everybody. Treat everybody the same. And again, never forget, as we call it, the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. So Luke says in the book of Acts that when I wrote this former treatise, this long discourse, I was writing to you about all that Jesus began to teach and to do. And everything we learn about Jesus was that he was a man who cared. He was a man who came to serve and to minister. How will we ever serve and how will we ever minister to one another and to others if we make a difference in folks? We got to accept them all as people made in the image of God. If you're here this morning then, and you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to do that.